following was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated in Memphis, Tennessee.
Anyone can say they're the best, and it's not easy being the best. Get in and see why Wizards is the best. Gifts and smoking accessories are on sale right now at reduced prices, including a large selection of Woodwick candles, vaporizers from Puff King, Grenco, Wolf, and Stealth Hybrid, shirts, hats, and adult novelty gifts. Say Radio Memphis and get an additional 20% off at checkout. 15 minutes from West Memphis, 1999 Madison Avenue in the heart of Midtown. Online at wizardsmemphis.com. Open every day. Wizards, because it's still smoking. Must be 18 years of age or older to purchase smoking-related items. Hello, my name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland. Greetings, salutations, hello, hey, how's it going? Welcome to another episode from Radioland. I am your host, Rick Cheddar. Why I even have to say that? It's in the title, which I don't know why I did that now that I think about it. Why did I put my name in the title? As though, I don't know, I guess because there's new listeners. It wasn't my idea, but I agreed to it. But I'm not blaming anybody. I'm here for your amusement. Entertainment's a little strong of a word, but I think I'm here for your amusement is part of it. I know there are, I hear from people every once in a while who say that they're amused by this little dog and pony show, which is great. I'm glad you're amused. I appreciate that. I don't know how else to really, you know, place that, but yeah, you know, I do what I can. I do my best. At least I think I do. I know, but then again, sometimes I don't know that I am doing my best. That's part of the thing. When I was working for the other company, the Evil Empire, it was kind of a strange. Those of you who have worked with them, your mileage may vary. I get that, but sometimes I had often wondered whether or not what I was doing was my best according to my peers. You know, you are judged in the radio industry, at least in terrestrial radio, by how your ratings are, how your numbers are, how many people listen to you, how many people interact with you, how many people do, you know, how many people believe in what you're doing enough to make it, you know, entertaining or amusing. And if that's the case, then, you know, you usually feel pretty good about it. You are often given that information by management, and they will tell you, this is where you're at right now, this is where you're headed, this is where you've been, you know, that kind of thing. But in the situation that I was in, there were long lingering questions as to whether or not what I was doing was right or good, because there was this ever persistent feeling that perhaps you were not. It's an odd motivational tactic, I get, but when the boss looks at you and goes, well, I don't know if you're doing your best, it prompted me to the point. I mean, it was such a mind fuck at the time that, yeah, I used that word, that when, you know, during the course of my employment there, I had been led to question my own abilities. I think that happened. It's not just indicative to this business. Don't get me wrong. I know it happens in every industry out there where human beings are doing their job, whatever it is that you do for a living. I think that is pervasive to that. I'm not looking at show business as its own thing. I'm only speaking on that because that's what I know. But it did create this kind of an odd thing that you knew your performance was good. You knew that your numbers were right on. You were doing what you were told and what you were asked to do, and you did the best that you could do. And a lot of that came from gut instinct as well. And you balance that out as best as you can, because when you are drawing a paycheck from a company, you want to do a good job. You want to be able to continue to do this good job and continue on. And that's just the way it is. I think that's called a work ethic. You know, you get up, you go to work, you do your job, you do the best that you can, and you move along about your day and your time. And you put your focus into your job when you are within the confines of that job. And the environment that I had been in there toward the end of my terrestrial career was, perhaps I wasn't. And it actually prompted me to utter this phrase, which I actually said to management, that I am doing the best that I possibly can. And if that's not good enough, then I guess I have no other choice. Which then prompted this kind of a bizarre response from them of, well, we'll just see how it goes. Knowing full well, I mean, I had set a trap for these people, knowing full well that that I was doing good. I, you know, you're judged in the court of popular opinion. Partly. The other thing that you are judged upon is money. Is it worth doing? Is it, you know, is it worth having this expenditure to continue to do this job? And that's a hell of a thing to lay on somebody, really, if you think about it. It's the, you know, hey, if you're not performing, you're out of here. And I get that. And it's like I said, it goes with any industry. If you're a guy who works in a, I don't know, if you're in some type of, let's say, a manufacturing job or something like that, if you're a blue collar guy even, and you're out there and you really thoroughly enjoy that line of work that you are engaged in, and you go and you do this job every day, whether it's framing a house or being a plumber or whatever it is that you do. And you thoroughly enjoy it, and you go out and you do this job day in and day out, and you get to exercise that part of your brain that is tantalized by this work. You know what I mean? Then you go home at the end of the day, and you have that feeling like, I've done a good job today. I felt good about it today. You know, had my difficulties, but I overcame them. There were challenges left and right, but I learned to work my way around them. And I succeeded. And thus, that is one's day, in theory, psychologically speaking, that is. And when you are placed upon that court of weird public opinion, you try and you try and justify that in your head that, hey, everything is going to be okay. Well, to take it back into the industry that I work in, sometimes it's not. And it does. This is where, you know, I've talked about this in some aspect or another, but being in this business is, quite frankly, very sick. It is. The industry is sick, and the people that are in it are sick. We are all sort of messed up. We're all damaged goods. And the difference with us than a lot of other people in different industries is that we accept that, and we just keep right on going. Because it's really the only thing we're really capable of doing that comfortably, that we like to do. And so we just continue on. And those little nagging strings are being pulled, those little threads of your fabric, as they become a little bit more unraveled, they become a little longer and a little dingier and a little frayed, and you lay there at night before you sleep with that ever-present worry that perhaps my good enough is not good enough. And those are the things that people like me carry around all the damn time. Look, I'm a self-employed man. I work for a company that I created, and I have built, I'd like to think, one of the best things that we've got going. I've got a bunch of things. I'm sitting here at a very cluttered desk with a lot of notes and a lot of things that I'm working on that it will soon become apparent. I really can't elaborate much more than that. But we got a bunch of stuff that is about to hit, and it's rather ambitious, to be honest with you. And as I sit here and I try and focus on this work, and I do it, and I start. There's that the thing. I don't know, Rick. Is it good enough? I don't know if you're gonna be able to pull this off. You could come across as a complete loser if you did. But that's risk. That's what you do. And I'm fine with risk. I'm a gambler at heart, as I think a lot of us are. Those of us that are ballsy enough to do that, you kind of have to be. That aside, there is that nagging feeling of the precipice of disaster. You know, there is that thing that stands there and stares you in the eyes and waves that big flag called failure in front of you. And I've, Lord knows, I've stared it right back and kept right on going. And kept going and kept going and kept going. And sometimes I wonder if it is what I do, is it really good enough? You know, numbers aside, I know those of you that are fans of this show and that have been so for a while now, I thank you deeply. And I've seen the numbers. I'm not only privy to them, I have created the platforms by which I can kind of, you know, get a good idea about what's going on. Not really created them, but I have a good access to those things. So I can see the truth, the good and the bad. And it's, you know, it's interesting. It really is interesting. I think overall, personally, I think what I have done has been a success in that realm. The numbers are good. There are people much like yourselves who are listening to this and enjoying this and are amused. But as I've learned in the past, is that good enough? That's the tough question you have to ask yourself sometimes. Am I doing the best that I can? And then the harder that I work, you may feel the same way. The harder that I work, the more that I put into the things that I do, and I feel like I've somehow personally I'm coming up short. That's just a symptom of not being fulfilled, I guess, to a certain degree. Look, one of the main arguments I think that people have, whether it's this business or whether it's any other industry, of course, is that am I being paid my worth? Am I being compensated in my worth? And I don't mean that financially. That's part of it, yes. But there is an emotional compensation that goes along with everything that we do. I do want to be able to get up every day and go do it. And I can honestly sit here and tell you that there are days that even though I physically don't feel all that good for whatever reason, I may be tired. My brain may be a little fuzzy. I may be coming down with something. I may have a cold. Unless I'm venting physical objects from the upper and lower ends of my digestive tract, I'm pretty much going to go do my job. Aside from what has now turned into about one day of month that is completely unpredictable, that I take it completely off. And you have to do that. No matter how hard you work, you have to have time away or it will feel like you're being smothered by a very cold, wet blanket. And yet, you wonder if that's right. You wonder if you're doing the right thing. You wonder if what you're doing is good enough. These are hard questions. Some of you who know me or have been fans of this show long enough who think they know me are probably sitting there going, yeah, bro, you're kind of beating yourself up again. It's all good. That's the way it goes. I'm fortunate enough that I can sit here and devote a little bit of time in front of a hot mic and record this because I do this for two reasons. And one of them is entirely selfish, but it's not the main reason. The first reason that I do this is that perhaps that there's somebody out there listening that may feel sort of the same way as I do. And whatever it is that they do, that maybe they're going, well, I think he's got a point. I kind of feel like that too. I get it. So, bro, how do you get over that? You don't. You just keep going until it goes away. It sounds kind of dumb, but that's kind of what it boils down to, isn't it? Isn't that really how that's supposed to work? You just keep going until it goes away? You just keep working until you can't? You keep trying things until they work or they don't? The definition of insanity was doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. I forget exactly who said that. I know it's been attributed to various people, but I don't think it was Einstein, even though I think he's the one that completely owns that, I suppose. I don't know. But it doesn't matter who said it. The fact of the matter is plain, that is a very true statement. Therefore, I sit here, like I mentioned earlier, amongst all my clutter and my notes and the things that I work on here in this studio about the things that I'm working on. And I wonder if this is enough. Is this right? Is this enough? And what I've done is I've put myself in a position where outside of 90 days, I've got a whole slew of new things that are going to be associated with Radio Memphis. And it's a questionable thing. Am I doing this right? I don't know. And I won't know until it gets done. And that's just it. I think we won't know. If I had all the answers, of course, I wouldn't be in this business. I'd be a professional gambler somewhere, as I think anybody else would be. I've gotten to the point now where it's there are certain, I don't know, things, points of view that I have adopted that are A, against the norm, which is fine, and B, a little further out there than probably need to be. And it creates a sense of fear, and it creates a sense of worry. Somebody else, some other wise person had said that worrying, or the act of being worried, is a lot like paying interest on a debt you don't owe. I'm not quite sure who said that, nor does it really matter. But whoever it was that said that was very wise. Being that it's very true. The issue with this is it doesn't stop guys like me. Because I still worry. I still wonder if, you know, are you not amused? That's that great line in Gladiator, Russell Crowe's line. Are you not amused? Are you not entertained? I get it. And there are times when I do wonder if it is, in fact, that I am. I'm not looking for an answer. I'm not looking for a pity party. Calm down. Before you start, you know, getting all eye-rolly on me here. This is part of what it takes to do even a show like this, because this is where things get really stripped down. Live on the air, probably not. So what's the difference, man? It's still the same thing. No, it's different. It is very different because I feel like I'm in some sort of a weird control. I can go back and cut all this out, although I haven't and I won't. This show has always been about exposing everything, warts and all. Sometimes it's popular, sometimes it's not, and that's okay. Sometimes it's horrifying to go back and listen to. I try not to. I will listen to it a little bit just to make sure that all the edits, because when I talk about edits, I'm talking about the music and all the teases and all that stuff that goes in there. I make sure that's all right and correct. But I don't sit there and critically listen to it as far as content. I listen to it as I speak. I'm one of these people who understand what comes out of my face is mine that I own. I'm not going to backtrack nor apologize for things that I say, because if it's come out of my face, then it's passed through a series of filters that is usually will capture something that'll keep me from getting into some sort of trouble. Well, defining trouble is a whole different animal. I have said things in the past on this very show that have been very pointed and very, filled with spite and bitter and bile. And that needed to be said, and I don't walk back any of that. I still have my moments when I am angry and upset and pissed off, and I'm frustrated deeply. And a lot of that is rooted into some form of depression. I think there is. I'm not that I'm self-diagnosing it. And nor do I think I'm clinically depressed, but I'm like most people who suffer the occasional bout of a downtime. My biorhythms might be down. Yo, bro, get your chakras aligned. That could be part of it. Sometimes I look at the entire picture of a thing and wonder where it is that I fit in that. And I think you do too. We all do that. And part of the fear is that if my one little part were to cease to exist, would it matter? Would it matter if this show went completely off the air, if it went away? Would it matter? Eventually it wouldn't. One of my goals in the construction of Radio Memphis was that I wanted it to outlast me. And I wanted it to outlast me in the same spirit in which that it was created. It's kind of a tricky call, and it's a bit arrogant for me to have that motive. I get that. That makes total sense. But coming from somebody who wants to leave behind some sort of legacy or some sort of, some sort of positive mark that I have left upon this earth, that is, I don't think, a very arrogant thing at all. It's a bit lofty, sure. Because always nipping at my heels at every step of the way is several demons and monsters and things that are out there to completely do me in. You got to remember that when I first was let out of the terrestrial world, I heard from colleagues who had told me that my best bet was to get out and stay out. There were people that I had worked with that even suggested that I had no business doing the things that I was doing now. Imagine having that laid at your feet. When you know full well that what you do is good, and correct and positive for the most part. Aside from shows like this, which I know seems to be kind of a downer, but I don't mean it to be. It's just these are realities. These are things that if you're going to be invested in a show like this and understand the person by the content by which it's coming from a very deep personal space. And I think it's important that those who are fans of a show like this or fans of people like me need to understand that it's not just dance, little monkey, dance. That it's not, hey, say something funny. Get off of the morose stuff. No more depression. Look, the reality is this. I have friends in this business who have constantly battled and lost those internal battles. And it's sad. It's horrible. And yet, every day, I get up and I do this again. And again, slightly different each time. Sometimes you wonder if it is borderline insanity. The sacrifices that I have made, the friendships that I have gained and lost, is it all worth it? Personally, right now, I like to think that it is. Whew, that's a hell of a statement. Because this is about my personal satisfaction.
You arrogant prick.
Could be. But that's what I've had to say sometimes, that it wasn't about you, it was about me. Granted, what I do involves you only to the extent by which you are the consumer and I'm the provider. Pretty heavy stuff. And there's probably, I may have lost a listener or two over that statement. And if that's the case, so be it. It's not about appeasing the common denominator. That is the old way of doing things. We live in a world right now where everything is so divided. Thanks to the political climate that has occurred in this world.
Get off the politics, bro.
I'm not getting political. I'm just saying that this is a thing. It happens. Right now, more than ever, we are all so divided. And if one of us says something that goes against the norm of somebody else, somebody gets all butthurt about it and makes a gigantic stink. Oh, well, I just hate you because of this. Here's a statement I will make and I will gladly stand by. I think overly hoppy beer is disgusting. I get it. There are people who like it. That's fine. I'm all for you. But I think that's the difference between me and a lot of other people. If you like that, that's great. Have that. Enjoy that. Don't deny yourself that. I'll pass. Thank you. You may not. I know you don't like a lot of the things that I like, and that's perfectly fine by me as well. And when we can talk about these things, that's when things start to open up a little bit amongst us. Do I have my fears? Yes, I do. I'm scared shitless. I'm terrified. I'm terrified that one day I'm going to get up and it will be the last day that I get to do it. Even though it's by myself. Whether it's this show, whether it's the morning show at Radio Memphis, whether it is I get to work with these great people that are there. One day, it is going to be my last day, and I want that day to be just as sweet and beautiful and wonderful as it was when I first started. But I don't know that. So the best that I can do is try and continue on and work toward that. And along the way, hopefully pick up some personal satisfaction, because right now, there's not so much of that. Personal satisfaction being what it is, it's just difficult. And it's tough. It's tough all over. I get it. I'm hungry, man. And I keep an eye, and this is probably not very healthy at all, but I keep an eye on the clock because of what I've done for a living for the past 30 something years. I keep an eye on the clock. I have a very good innate sense of time. But you want to hear what's kind of fucked up? I started wearing a wristwatch this week. Why would I want to do that? when I've got a phone. There's a clock at every computer screen I stare at. There's a clock everywhere I go. There's a clock in my car. There's a clock. Somebody's got a clock somewhere on there. I'm never one for not knowing what time it is. And without looking at my watch, I can tell you what time it is. But I'm wearing a wristwatch. I do it because, it's a pretty cool watch. It was a gift that came to me from a very dear friend of mine. But second of all, it has a second hand on it. And I kind of dig that. It sounds stupid, but I dig the second hand. But I also do it because it's an ever-present reminder that time stops for no one, including me. Tick-tock, baby. Tick-fucking-tock.
Like sands through the hourglass, these are the days of our lives.
I'll probably get sued for that, but fine, fuck them, whatever. It's a metaphor. It was meant for that show, and it was perfect. And it's true. Our time we spend together is precious to me because I enjoy sitting here and doing this. Because if this was an absolute exercise in futility, would I bother sitting here? Would I bother turning on a microphone and recording this? Would I bother spend the next hour and a half after I've recorded this to decompress for a moment and then edit this and put it together and get it out there and get it published? Would that be right? Would I do it just because I'm going through the motions? How could I possibly do that? It's not going through the motions so much as going through the emotions. That's the hard part. That's what you do. That's what you overcome. Or at least you try. Is it difficult? In ways you'll never know. Is it rewarding? Again, in ways you'll never know.
Can I make a living doing this?
Absolutely not. Anyone can say they're the best, and it's not easy being the best. Get in and see why Wizards is the best. Great deals on gifts and smoking accessories can be found right now at Wizards. Check out the large selection of Woodwick candles with new lower prices, vaporizers, shirts, hats, and so much more. Say Radio Memphis and get an additional 20% off at checkout. 15 minutes from West Memphis, 1999 Madison Avenue in the heart of Midtown. Online at wizardsmemphis.com. Open every day. Wizards! Because it's still smoking. Must be 18 years of age or older to purchase smoking-related items.
Here's what's coming up on the next episode from Radioland with Rick Cheddar.
I mean, think about it for just a moment. The universe is in constant motion, man. And just down here, right here on Earth, everything is just, there's constant stuff that is constantly going on. The news cycle isn't a 24-hour thing. It's happening every second. Stories come out. They change within hours or minutes or moments even. Sometimes they're right. A lot of times they're wrong. There's everything that is just going on. There's pictures like this, do that. Social media has done all this and brought us together and torn us apart and has just ripped us and gone completely nuts with it. And yet, we run into people in public and we hear the same thing in person. It's like Facebook Live. It's not like a camera type thing. It's just like you're face to face with an individual. They lose their marbles and they go completely apeshit over the fact that their children are suffering, right? And everything is going on. We've got problems with the government and problems with the world and this country and that country. And then there's this. You look at a picture that was taken from Mars of planet Earth. Then you realize how small you are.
For previous episodes, go to radio-memphis.com. To download episodes to your mobile device, search the show in iTunes, player.fm, stitcher.com, Pocket Cast, or TuneIn. And now, here's more with Rick Cheddar from Radioland.
Right on, kids. It's time to get into some music. These guys came to us, at least they came to my attention, thanks to my cohort, my partner in crime, on the morning show, the lovely Kate Lucas. She found these guys. I'm sure she found them at a bar somewhere. I don't mean that. She found these guys at a bar, and they wound up crashing on her couch. I don't know that that's quite the way it should be considered. That doesn't sound like that at all. No, these guys are pretty cool. They've got a very cool sound. They got a great groove to them. They're fun. They're a lot of fun. They've been in our studios a couple of times during the Radio Memphis Live Music Hour. Pardon me. I had a tuna sandwich before I did this show. And for some reason, I now have indigestion. What the fuck? God, I'm getting old. Back to these guys. They have a fun thing going on, and they're a lot of fun. And they're a band called Object 12. OBJEKT, the number 12, 12. Find them on Facebook. Find them online. Go get their music and dig it. Now, you're sitting there going, well, you're selling us and we haven't heard them. Guess what? You're going to hear them right now. This is a great song. It's called Slippin'. Here it is, Object 12 from Radioland. Ow!
Yo, I'm walking in a field of purple flowers. The whole world screaming money and the power. I think I'm high, man, I need to take a shower. The phone rang, then I hopped up out the shower. And then I slipped and I'm falling, I got to get up. Said I slipped, I'm falling, I got to get up. Said I slipped, I'm falling, I got to get up. Hey yo, I slipped, I'm falling, I got to get up. Nothing to me.
Song's called Slippin'. The band is called Object 12. They're in regular rotation at radio-memphis.com. They're also in various places online. You can go get their record. Please do. Download their singles, their album, whatever they've got, get it. And if they're playing anywhere near you, go to their show. I think you'll enjoy it. They're a lot of fun. And if you happen to be at the same place as me at the same time, which is usually in cyberspace between 9 a.m. and 2 p.m. Central Time in Memphis, Tennessee. If you happen to be tuned into radio-memphis.com, wherever it is around the world, should be a message. Tell me,
hey, bro, can I hear that? Can I hear that band you played at on the podcast? The one that you were so depressed about to blow your brains out in, Object 12. Can you play them?
And I'll be more than happy to work some in for you because that's what I do. I was kidding about the blowing my brains part out. It's a metaphor. No, I'm not going to do that. That's too messy. It just seems wrong. And quite frankly, it seems a little permanent. And the way things are going, I'd probably F that up too. All right, kids, look, I got to go. Enough of this depression. You've heard what's coming up next week. I'm going to go shake this off. Perhaps have a beverage. Perhaps nine. And go about my day. So there you go. Until next time, please take care of yourselves. Take care of one another. And, stop shooting each other. That'd be big. We'll see you next time. I'm Rick Cheddar, and this has been from Radio Land.
Rick Cheddar from Radioland is produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. All music performed during this episode was used by permission. No part of this program can be rebroadcast or used in any other way except by written consent. For bookings and other inquiries, you can write the show by sending an email to radioland@pirateradiostudios.com. For more, go to radio-memphis.com.